ready to go even deeper into your family history. This time, we're going back before Farndale to uncover the story of the land itself.
Really digging deep into the Kirkby Moorside estate from 1066 to 1200. It's a fascinating period.
A real turning point in history. So much happened that directly shaped the world our ancestors would inherit.
It's like stepping back in time and witnessing those changes firsthand.
It's incredible to think about, right? What were those early days like for the people who lived there? What can we learn from them?
Well, we have to set the stage first. Imagine, if you will, the eve of the Norman conquest.
A pivotal moment in English history for sure.
And at that time, the land that would become Farndale was part of a vast estate controlled by a man named Orm Gamelson.
Orm Gamelson, that's quite a name.
It is. And his story is intertwined with the events that would reshape England. His estate was immense, encompassing Kirkby Moorside and the wild, rugged area that would one day become Farndale.
So we're talking about the very beginnings here, the roots of your family tree.
Exactly. And it was a time of great upheaval. England in the 11th century was like a powder keg waiting to explode.
I can imagine. You had power struggles, shifting alliances, and then, of course, the Norman conquest itself.
Precisely. And right in the thick of it was Orm Gamelson and everyone living on his land. They were caught in a whirlwind of events beyond their control. Think about it. Figures like Harold Godwinson fighting for the throne against William of Normandy, his own brother, Tostig Godwinson, stirring up rebellion in the north. It was a recipe for chaos.
His own brother. Why am I not surprised? It seems like family drama has always been a part of history. Okay, so we've got this backdrop of intrigue and ambition, and then the Battle of Stamford Bridge takes place just a stone's throw from Kirkby Moorside.
A pivotal battle indeed. Imagine the scenes, the clash of swords, the sheer scale of the conflict, and right in the heart of your ancestral land.
It must have been terrifying for those who witnessed it. What was the significance of this battle in the grand scheme of things?
Well, it was a major turning point. Harold Godwinson, against all odds, managed to defeat his brother Tostig and the Norwegian king, Harald Hardrada, who had joined forces with him.
Wow, a real underdog story. But didn't this victory come at a cost?
A heavy cost.
Yeah.
You see, while a triumph for Harald, it left his forces depleted, weakened at the worst possible time. Just days later, he had to march south to face William the Conqueror at Hastings, and, well, we know how that turned out.
The rest, as they say, is history. William emerges victorious, the Normans take control of England, and I'm guessing this completely changed life for everyone, including the people living on what was once Orm Gamelson's vast estate.
Absolutely. It was a seismic shift in power, and it had a profound impact on every aspect of life, from the top of society down to those who worked the land.
So where do we even begin to piece together what happened next? How do we track the changes in this period?
That's where a truly remarkable document comes in, the Domesday Book. Think of it as a snapshot of England under Norman rule. The Domesday Book, it's really quite something else. It wasn't just some boring old record, oh no. It was a statement, a powerful message to everyone about who was in charge now. William the Conqueror wanted to know exactly what he had conquered, right down to the last detail.
And he got it. This book, it's like looking through the eyes of those Norman scribes, seeing what they saw, recording it all for posterity. It's incredible that it even still exists.
I know, right? It's a treasure trove of information for historians, especially for those of us interested in this period. And for you, well, it offers a glimpse into what happened to your ancestral lands after the Normans took over.
Talk about a direct connection to the past. So what does it actually tell us about Kirkby Moorside? Did it change much under Norman rule?
Well, according to the Domesday Book, the Kirkby Moorside estate was still vast. Can you believe it? It stretched for 42 miles. Imagine that, 42 miles.
42 miles, that's huge. So we're talking about more than just a small village here. This was a major landholding, even by Norman standards.
Oh, absolutely. And it included everything, villages, forests, and yes, even that wild, remote valley that would eventually become Farndale, all meticulously documented, measured, and assessed for its value. Your ancestral home, now firmly under Norman control.
Under new management, you could say. And I bet that came with a whole new set of challenges and opportunities for the people who lived there. So who were these new Norman overlords? Did anyone rise to fill the void left by Orm Gamelson?
Well, it became a bit of a power struggle, actually. Two powerful families, the Stuteville's and the Mowbrays, ended up vying for control of Kirkby Moorside. Imagine these two families locked in this high-stakes chess match, their every move affecting the lives of everyone living on the land.
A real-life Game of Thrones. Give me the backstory on these families. Who were the Stuteville's? Were they good rulers, or did my ancestors have a rough time under their thumb?
Well, the Stuteville's were one of those families that rode the wave of the Norman conquest. You know,
yeah.
They were incredibly loyal to William the Conqueror, and that loyalty earned them significant rewards, including, at least initially, control of Kirkby Moorside. So yes, they were among the first Normans to establish themselves in this part of Yorkshire.
Wow, so my ancestors would have witnessed this firsthand. A new lord, new laws, maybe even a new language. It must have been a period of incredible upheaval for them. But hold on, didn't you say there was another family, the Mowbrays? How do they factor into this whole saga?
Ah, yes, the Mowbrays. They enter the picture a bit later during the reign of King Henry V. Henry was known for his, shall we say, strategic approach to land ownership. And he saw an opportunity to shift the balance of power. He granted Kirkby Moorside to a nobleman named Nigel d'Aubigny, whose family later became the Mowbrays. Imagine that. One minute the Stuteville's are in control, and the next they're out, replaced by this new family.
Talk about whiplash. I can only imagine what my ancestors must have thought. Their lives turned upside down not once but twice with each change of rulership. It makes you wonder, what impact did all this back and forth have on the people living on the land? Were they just pawns in this game of power?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, as we don't have any firsthand accounts from the people themselves. But we can imagine that these weren't just abstract power plays happening in some distant court. These shifts in allegiance would have meant changes to their everyday lives, new laws, new taxes, new loyalties demanded of them. It's safe to say it was a time of great uncertainty, of having to adapt constantly to the whims of their rulers.
I can imagine it must have been tough. But what about Farndale during all of this? Was it still this wild, untouched wilderness while these Norman families were busy playing their power games?
That's where it gets really interesting. You see, even amidst all this political maneuvering, life went on and even progressed in its own way. After Nigel d'Aubigny died, his wife, Gundreda, took over management of the estate. Now, Gundreda is a fascinating figure in her own right.
A woman in a man's world. I'm intrigued already. Tell me more about Gundreda. What makes her such a significant figure in all of this? And what connection does she have to Farndale?
Well, as I said, she was a remarkable woman, especially for her time. She demonstrated tremendous strength and leadership in managing this vast estate, particularly while her son was still too young to inherit. And it's during her time that we start to see Farndale, that once forgotten valley, being drawn into the broader picture. She made a significant land grant in Farndale, suggesting that it was no longer viewed as just this wild, untamed backwater.
So she saw potential in Farndale. That's fascinating. It sounds like she's a forward-thinking leader. But the Stuteville's, you mentioned they weren't out of the picture entirely, were they? What happened next in this back and forth for control of Kirkby Moorside?
You know what they say about those Stuteville's? It seems you couldn't keep them down for long. Eventually, they managed to maneuver their way back into control of Kirkby Moorside. And this, my friend, is where your ancestral story really begins to take shape. Because it's under the Stuteville's in the early 13th century that we see the very first permanent inhabitants putting down roots in Farndale.
Okay, so the Stuteville's are back in charge of Kirkby Moorside, and this remote valley, Farndale, it's finally starting to attract some permanent residents.
Right, this is where things get really exciting, at least for me as a historian. Because now we're talking about your ancestors, real people, with lives and stories, making their home in Farndale for the first time. It really makes you think about their lives, their struggles, you know, the day-to-day realities of carving out an existence in this wild, untamed place.
It's a far cry from our lives today. We complain about traffic and slow Wi-Fi, and they were battling the elements, trying to coax a living from the land. What can you tell us about what life was like for them under the Stuteville's? Were the Stuteville's good landlords? Did they look after their tenants?
It's hard to say for sure. You know, without those personal diaries and letters, we can only piece together so much. But we do know the Stuteville's were big supporters of the church. They made quite a few significant donations to religious institutions, including one called Keltholm Priory, which actually had holdings in Farndale. Now that's interesting because it suggests that religion played a significant role in the lives of your ancestors, even back then.
Okay, so they were religious. Does that mean they were good landlords, though? I mean, history is full of rulers who used religion to justify all sorts of things.
Exactly. You've got a point there. Being devout doesn't automatically equal being benevolent, right? We have to consider the bigger picture. While religious patronage might have brought some stability to the region and even offered a degree of protection, it also often came with strings attached. For the people living on the land, it could mean increased obligations, higher taxes to support the church, and even pressure to conform to certain beliefs and practices, whether they wanted to or not.
It's amazing how much we can glean from these seemingly small details, isn't it? Just the fact that the Stuttvilles were patrons of a priory with lands in Farndale tells us so much about the world our ancestors were living in.
It really does. It's like a puzzle, isn't it? You find these little pieces of information and you start putting them together, and suddenly you can see a whole picture emerging.
A picture of resilience, adaptation, and ultimately survival. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from the eve of the Norman conquest to the first permanent settlements in Farndale. It's mind-blowing to think that these events, these historical figures, they're not just names in a book. They're directly connected to you, to your family history.
It really makes you appreciate the long and winding road that's brought us to where we are today. All the twists and turns, the challenges overcome, the legacies passed down through generations. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It certainly is. Well, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us on this incredible journey into the past. We'll be back soon with another deep dive, ready to uncover more fascinating stories from history. Until then, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep those ancestral connections alive.